first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, finally welcome to Pubcast show number 134. Sorry we went missing last week, it was a bit of a hectic one. But we're back here and happy this week. Joe Kinnear's written the introduction for me.
Do you know, wait, let me just stop you there. Do you know, I was thinking about this earlier, right? Because I like thinking about the podcast, especially on a Wednesday morning. Granted, I was naked at the time.
Where's this going?
It's going somewhere. I suppose the naked bit just means that I suppose you can kind of... My judgment's normally clouded when I'm naked. But in this sense, I was by myself and just naked. I just come out of the shower, basically.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I was thinking about the podcast, and I was thinking about how we never do an introduction, and we never go, and haven't we got a show in store for you today?
Well,
I realised that we probably can't ever say that because we make it all up on the spot.
Exactly.
And to be honest, it could be an absolutely shite show and we just don't know. We can't predict that, can we?
Well, during the brief period I was exiled from the podcast and I used to do Mike Coxon's football news round, used to do one of those style of introductions, but then never relate it to the show and never mention it, but it wasn't very good. That's
I was thinking about going, ah, what a show we've got in store for you today. And then going, well, if we say that and it's a load of wank, then we've kind of bigged it up.
Yeah, it should
be. We missed it last week, so there's plenty to talk about.
I mean, like I said, I'm Michael Cookson, and I'm here with Don Silva. And
Don Da Silva.
Andy Franks. Bloody hell. It's just a strange situation. But before we go on to joking here, we've got some exciting news.
Have we?
We've got a new member of the podcast family coming up, haven't we, Andy?
We have, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, but my missus is 13 weeks.
Mate. Yeah, so there you go.
Congratulations. Yeah, round of applause.
So, very, very exciting. Hopefully they'll know a bit more about football than you.
I didn't think I'd hit him, but I've scored.
There goes your Brentford season ticket, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be getting a Brentford season ticket next season now. Probably a good thing.
You didn't do a trotter, you hit the target.
I hit the target, it went...
She didn't run up the other end and another bloke scored, at least we hope. I'd check the milkman. But all very good, but no.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, we had a request from Alan Doyle on Twitter when I asked what we should talk about today, and he did say only one topic, Joe fucking Kinnear. I mean, what the fuck is going on?
Did you read the article in the Mirror today?
It was really good.
Really good.
Ed Malin, yeah, he's...
brilliant, was, sarcasm.
With a little bit of commentary, yeah.
There was a similar one in Football 365 Media Watch yesterday, I mean...
It's just so funny, isn't it?
I feel a bit bad for the guy.
I don't. Not if he's going to lie like that in a press interview. I mean, does he not think people are going to check some of the things he's talking about?
I don't think he's lying. I think he just doesn't realise. I mean,
doesn't realise what?
That everything he's saying.
He's younger than Bobby Robson.
He's not an articulate fella.
No, but articulate aside, he's saying that he won 3 Manager of the Years, and he's only won one.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if he might be talking
about
awards.
And he's talking about buying and selling players that he didn't buy and
exactly,
didn't sell.
Exactly. I mean, ridiculous how incompetent he is for the job.
That is ridiculous.
But, I'm just picking out.
I really feel for Newcastle fans. I mean,
and don't forget poor old Derek Lambeze.
Not only is he no longer director of football, but he's no longer managing director.
No,
either.
I mean, I think my
Ben Alfie and it was
Ben Afra.
Ben Afri.
Johan Kebab.
And also Ben Afri. He called him different names as well.
And the youngster, Amiobi.
The youngster, Shola
Amamobi.
The youngster, Shola Amamobi, who shows some great potential.
Yeah,
you might mean Sammy.
Well, no, he also referred to his boy Sammy as if Sammy's his son. Well,
right.
I mean.
And don't forget Gutierrez.
Johan Kebab, obviously.
And his wife.
How many kebab shops in Newcastle do you think have started selling Johan Kebab?
The Johan Kebab. It's a winner, isn't
it? Straight away, I'd change my name.
Yeah.
I'd be Johan's Kebabs.
Yeah.
You'd have to be Johan's Kebabs.
Oh, yeah.
Genius.
It's a good name for a fanzine, that, actually. Yeah, I might see that.
You know what? It's a really good way. One.
Friend of the show, Jonathan McCauley-Oliver, who appeared many moons ago, he's a massive Newcastle United fan. He's the fella who kicked his door in when they scored.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's now supporting Albion Rovers in Scotland.
I like him even more.
Yeah. Who was starting the season against Elgin, but we'll go on to fixtures later. But I don't think you can really blame Joe Kinnear, because if someone's going to offer him a job at a Premier League football team, and there was a quote from him saying he wanted to be a director of football so he could get back into management somewhere about a year ago.
Yeah.
So clearly he thinks he's going to get the manager's job back.
Well,
maybe
not
now.
Pardew's kept very quiet about it, hasn't he?
Well, he
Pardew's
very
still lucky to have a job as well. Yeah. I mean, the problem is that he's gone and talked up all of his abilities, all of his team's abilities. They were very lucky to avoid relegation. They spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the reason that he's now got someone to report into, director of football, is because of how bad he was last year.
Yeah, but how bad has he got to be that he's got to report into Joe Kinnear?
Well, the blame
on
the
player. If he keeps his mouth shut, then at least he can try and come out of this with some dignity.
I don't really know
anyone that likes Pardew anyway.
Mike Ashley is guy.
He's got blame. You've got to blame Mike Ashley.
You've got to blame him for giving Pardew an 8-year contract to start with.
Yeah.
Who gives a manager an 8-year contract?
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason he didn't get sacked, isn't it? Because it would have been ridiculous how much he would have been
compensated. Unbelievable. What is he playing at?
I mean, I know that they got very close to Champions League qualification the previous season, and that was a great performance by the team, and everything looked like it was going to improve for Newcastle.
Yeah, but they didn't get it.
And Mike Ashley said, but they didn't get it.
That was the year
and
that then, it was going to be.
And then it's just gone back to the Newcastle of 3 years ago, when they sacked Keegan and brought in Kinnear, and when the Kinnear had a heart attack and he brought in Shearer and massively mismanaged Alan Shearer. And I don't like Alan Shearer, but the way they treated him as a club legend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, utterly, utterly ridiculous. And then the way they treated Chris Hughton, and it's. It's just
and he's a nice guy,
and then
Chris
Hughton. He renamed the stadium, didn't he? Yeah, nice.
Well, and now they're sponsored. Now they're sponsored by Wonga.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of renaming stadiums, this isn't a stadium which was renamed, but actually the oldest stadium still going since the start of the professional football leagues, Bramall Lane.
Yeah.
Has got Jessica Ennis stand.
Has it?
What
oh,
the
it
fuck
does,
is
doesn't
that
it?
About?
Well, they have the Jessica Ennis
local
Stadium.
Hero.
So I've
gone
hero.
A bit sideways
well,
there, but
why
I mean,
don't they have the Jarvis Cocker end there?
I would just have a statue of Jessica Ennis in her...
Naked?
No, well,
coming out the shower?
I mean, all very good suggestions, and I don't think you get away with that. But in a little tiny kit.
But she don't float my boat.
No,
to go on a tangent, but no, not for me.
Oh, do you know who does float my boat? Yes, I've just totally got up to first tenuous linking. Tali Grobbelaar.
I've met Tali Grobbelaar. She was in.
Let me stop you there. When you say met her, do you mean you viewed her on a webcam?
No.
Ah. Because this is what
no,
I thought you meant.
Her.
However,
no.
Because okay. So if she only, so
no,
if
no,
only,
I know her.
If it's only £3 a minute for posing topless in stockings and suspenders, how much did she charge you when you met her?
Yeah,
she used to live.
No, Granby Harris.
Oh,
get
in
to
Leeds.
The point.
She lived opposite my.
Have you heard this, Andy?
Andy has no idea what's going on.
She's appearing on online webcams for £3 a minute.
Bloody hell.
On
Tali,
the sort of website that we'd never visit.
No.
I'm going to tell me, mate, Graham Brown, to give her a call and sort her out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was. She
she's
lived
been
opposite
sorted
me,
out,
mate.
Apparently.
She's
well,
a working girl. So.
She lived opposite my mate in Leeds, and she was in the Leeds student calendar the first year that she was a fresher in.
And now
Leeds.
She's getting,
how much did that cost?
Now she's getting her waps out for £3 a minute.
Yeah.
So.
Good on you, girl.
Well done, Tali Grobbelaar, you dirty bitch.
Dirty bed.
You dirty bed.
Horrific. Well, not horrific, I'm sure.
Sorry, what are we talking about?
Jessica Ennis to Tali Grobbelaar.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Is this the football podcast?
Yes, it is.
Yeah
we were talking
football.
About stadiums.
Football, that's
stadiums
football.
And stands.
Football. No, but I've got two now with women and football.
Oh,
just
go
throwing
on.
Them in. One is, did anyone see Jordan women beat Kuwait 21-0?
Got a lot up front, Jordan.
A lot up front. They had to win by an 18-0 margin. An 18-0
really?
Margin to go to the top of the group. And they managed to win 21-0.
That's,
you've got to look at that.
That's actually quite impressive.
You've got to look at the goalkeeping as well.
That's
it was
a goal
absolutely
every,
amazing.
Is that,
I wonder whether there was any sort of match fixing involved in that.
We could only possibly speculate.
Yeah.
No, because a goal every 30 goals would be a goal every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's
a goal every 2.5 minutes.
No, because
it can't be less time, man. Yeah. Fucking hell, you're
it's more like a goal every 3.5 minutes. Yeah.
Bloody hell, don't ever help your child with their homework.
And the other one, the other one, and I can't remember, I've forgotten her name, right? But look it up if you can. It's the Barcelona women's striker. Did you see this goal?
No.
Not only is she fit, right? She has, it was playing, I can't remember who they're playing against, but there's a clip of her scoring this goal. She's gone to the edge of the box to take on two defenders, done a little drag back and a sort of Cruyff turn that she's knocked between her legs and one of the players' legs. Yes, I'm learning to describe a bit better. Which has then completely sold the two defenders and she's gone in on goal and slotted it.
Are you sure they haven't just put Messi in a wig?
No. I mean, Messi in a wig would definitely not be as good looking. But
and another good Barcelona, well, but a new Barcelona player, the goal that Neymar scored for Brazil. Did you see it?
There's a lot about because also Thiago Alcantara.
We've had football. We've had football to talk about as well.
Yeah, Thiago Alcantara scoring a hat trick. But I've actually got another one that links to women. But we'll go on to that when we talk about the World Cup.
I'll tell you what. I think the England national team would struggle to beat the Spanish under 21s.
It depends.
They play. I mean,
it just shows what they should be doing at tournaments.
They look very good.
Did they concede a goal?
Two.
No. Did they? Oh yeah, they did in the final. Yes. Of course, Barini scored one of them. That's depressing.
Barini.
But, embarrassing more than depressing.
But yeah, because De Gea had a ridiculous run, and it was also he equaled the most caps for the under 21s in playing in that. But they just look stunning. It's scary.
I think they look very. If I was the England manager, if I was Roy Hodgson, I would be absolutely bricking it if I had to play the Spanish under 21s. I think they'd embarrass us.
Wow.
Good job we won after.
Yeah.
Well,
not for a few years anyway.
Well, yeah.
But, speaking of international tournaments and women, to link the two together, Australia obviously qualified for the World Cup yesterday.
And Iran.
Congratulations to them. Yeah. But Australia, did you hear what the Australian coach said last week?
No.
At the start of a press conference, he said that women should not open their mouths outside of the home.
Ooh.
Which, to be fair, he said it as a joke, but he's been forced to come out and apologise quite profusely.
Yeah, but he is from Iran. I mean, it's sort of...
No, he's from Australia.
Oh, sorry, we're talking about the Australian coach.
An even more backwards view towards gender equality, I think. But yeah, Australia super ran through South Korea. Uzbekistan missed out by a goal. I've been back in Uzbekistan. I've got an Uzbeki friend.
Goal difference.
If South Korea had equalised as well, they would have gone through on goal difference. Either way, they would have gone through.
Actually, in that group,
they beat Qatar 5-1.
That's what I was just about to say.
It's going to be a really competitive World Cup when Qatar are hosting, isn't it?
Exactly what I was saying, if I could get a word in.
They've got one more World Cup to qualify for before they do make their World Cup debut.
They're not going to qualify for this one.
You should. I mean, they're just clearly not of that standard. Maybe they'll improve. But
and talking of that, as much as it was wonderful to see, in fact it's tomorrow night, isn't it, though? Poor old Tahiti.
Hey, fair play, they scored.
The scenes were magnificent. They were fucking mental.
Fair play to them. It might be naivety, but they fucking went for it. They attacked. They looked very good.
And they scored two own goals.
One was quite harshly deflected, although the goalkeeper was
two international goals in one match.
Should stick to canoe in that goalkeeper.
No, he didn't score. But the guy who scored the header scored an own goal as well.
He's the first person to score at an international tournament at both ends, I think. Or it might be the Confederations Cup.
An own goal.
It's great.
It was just so good to see. But I mean, Nigeria wasted a lot of chances. It could have been double figures. But it wasn't. Yeah. And 6-1 isn't... I mean, it's a humping, but it's not...
They stuck one in.
It was a fucking great towering header at the back post as well. Great nod. Silver-esque, most people would say.
Well, if you could jump, you've knackered your foot. It's not going to be happy. You're not going to be playing for Tahiti at the next tournament now.
No, it's a shame. But tomorrow night's going to be a bit silly, isn't it? Is it tomorrow night, the Spain game?
Yeah.
Do
you remember in the final of the Euros last year when Iker Casillas urged
they
the referee
trying to beat
to
play
blow,
City,
blow
yeah.
the whistle because he said 4-0, come on, that's enough.
Yeah.
And that's against Italy.
Yeah.
What score is it going to have to get to against Tahiti before they say?
They'll probably score a few really early goals and then just make it a training exercise.
Yeah, but it's not even a training exercise, is it? That's the whole point. It's not even a training... You're literally just knocking the ball about amongst yourselves.
You've got the world's best against possibly one of the world's worst.
Well, they're not one of the world's worst, but
they're
because there's about 70-odd teams below them.
but they're...
Are they really
they're
that
not
high?
Yeah, they are. They're below Luxembourg.
Oh, fuck it. Let them get beat 10-0 then.
But, you know, fair play. I mean, you can't stop
them... I thought
we were
talking about real minnows here.
You can't stop them entering these
the sort that we play in our qualifying tournaments and... Well,
oh no, they're probably better than a lot of European teams. It's the way the rankings work, obviously. When you get down to that end, there are teams...
They're all bollocks, right? All the rankings are bollocks anyway.
Well, the only ones that are relevant are probably about the top 20, and then everything below that's so
skewed. Even that's bollocks.
Oh, no, it's not. It's based on results. I'm a firm believer. I mean, England might not be that good, but we get the results to earn us the place in the rankings.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. But when you get further down, the fact that results in... South America and Europe count for a lot more than results in North America or Africa or Asia. It means that it all gets muddled
does,
up.
Does Jersey have an international
Jersey
ranking?
Jersey doesn't, no, because it's
my
not
mate's got
a
an
country.
International cap for them.
They're not recognised by FIFA or UEFA.
Oh, that's a shame.
So it is.
Someone who is recognised by FIFA and UEFA quite a lot.
This could be anyone in football.
No, you're right. And who's also had a very good week was Mario Balotelli.
Ooh.
Who we haven't mentioned for a while, and I just like throwing
he's
his name.
He's a bit of a naughty boy of the week as well, isn't he?
Well,
no.
He got a booking for taking his shirt off, didn't he?
That's not naughty. Oh, come on.
By his standards.
By his standards,
yeah.
That's ridiculous. And by our standards of naughty boy, that's.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True.
Fair play.
But, yeah, no, I thought he played really well against. You. No, not Uruguay. Who did they play? Italy. Who?
Italy played Uruguay, didn't they?
No, Spain.
No,
Uruguay.
Spain Uruguay. It was Italy versus
Mexico.
Mexico.
Fernandez scored a penalty. Yeah. Naughty boy Dos Santos trying to take it off him.
Yeah. No, he's got a clue anyway. And nice news for Mario Balotelli, he's settling down.
Really?
He's settling down.
Yeah. We've heard it all before.
He's given Fanny $100,000 engagement ring.
Oh.
And Fanny, who looked delightful in a yellow top in the crowd on against Mexico. And he's settling down, he's maturing.
Yeah, fair play to the lad, fair play. I've got some naughty boys.
Oh, I've got a few.
From Africa. Basically, they're nearly at the end of the World Cup qualifying second round. They have another round after this for playoffs. And I would be praising Ethiopia, who've qualified for the next round for the first time at the expense of South Africa. But... they fielded an ineligible player.
What did you just say?
Ineligible.
All that got was it.
Well, you know, it's
they fielded someone to enunciate.
I know we say first drink of the day, but sometimes you have to start at 9 a.m. to get through the day. But no, they fielded an ineligible player against South Africa who they beat at the weekend, which is now going to mean that the result gets reversed and means that South Africa now have a chance again. But unfortunately, this seems to be happening quite commonly. Because Equatorial Guinea are also being investigated for
it. So what are the details on the player who is ineligible?
He was suspended. So
it was
Jerry Smith.
Ah, right.
You know, the outside wing.
I thought you were going to say, so who was playing? I wasn't listening. Who was playing South Africa?
South Africa and Ethiopia.
Ethiopia got
through for the first time.
Why was he not a legal player or something? Well, because he was Nigerian.
Yeah.
Or something. From another country. It wasn't actually from another country.
No, he wasn't. He was suspended. But the same thing's happened with Equatorial.
So how did they manage to do that?
Well, they just don't have the same administrative systems.
They don't adhere to rules.
That's it.
Wait a minute. Anyone suspended? No. All right, cool. That's all right.
We're in.
You sure you didn't pick up a red card in the last game?
Didn't you?
No, boss.
Yeah. No. Oh, must be someone else.
It's happened. Equatorial Guinea have done it as well against Cape Verde. And if that happens, Cape Verde are now in with a chance of beating Tunisia, who have already qualified to get through. So Tunisia are being punished.
I'm confused.
Equatorial Guinea's mistakes. And it's happened. Togo fielded an eligible player, not Adebayor. So now I think it's somebody.
It's a shambles, Michael.
That's worse. Cameroon will move above Libya in the table.
Libya were
above them, but now Cameroon will go ahead of them.
I commend your knowledge.
Yeah, absolute shambles.
But yeah, it is a bit of a shambles.
It's fucking pathetic, isn't it?
All right, Andy.
You know what? These countries don't necessarily have the same resources to check who's got yellow cards. You can't judge us
before
the day. Careful, Mike. What are you trying to say?
They don't have the FA, do they? Shut up. They don't have the FA, do they?
It's like Big Brother, isn't it, Dan?
They don't have the same coverage.
terrible.
Does anyone follow Dan Silver on Twitter?
No, I apologise.
I've already apologised. Well, you apologise on Twitter, but not to the football podcast.
Well, if they don't follow me on Twitter, it's not their problem, then, is it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been tweeting about Big Brother because my one of my family friends,
two
of them are in it, which is really funny.
Did you only realise when they turned up on the show that there was two of them? Did you just think that?
No, I knew both of them going in. I had to keep it quiet.
It's the mum and the daughter.
Yeah,
apparently.
It's the mum and the daughter.
I haven't seen it. Oh. But, Charlie
was my first kiss when I was 11.
Oh.
Yeah. And Jack's.
Kiss when you were 10?
Yeah. So I apologise for any Big Brother tweets, but I've got to watch it because they're family friends. Well, the exactly. Dickheads for going in the first place. But anyway. Speaking of dickheads. Actually, I've got a few. Who do I pick? Jose Jimenez.
Jose Jimenez.
Argentinian Bella Vista player. Which actually, this genuinely upset me. He was sent off. I think it was second yellow carded from the video. Do you remember a while ago, I think it was a Mexican player who kicked the owl and killed the owl?
Oh, no, he was he was playing in Argentina or somewhere. It was one of the South American nations.
Right, so they got previous. Jose Jimenez got sent off, but it looked like a stray dog or a little skinny dog, cute little thing, ran onto the pitch. He's grabbed it by the neck and he's launched it, trying to throw it over the boards, which must have been a good 6-7 feet high. It's hit the board. It didn't even make it open over the board. Hit the board and come down, and the poor little thing scampered off. Looked all right. It literally by the scruff, not even by the scruff of the neck, by the throat, has then launched this dog off the pitch, and good old referee sent him off for it. Disgusting Christ. Bit of animal cruelty.
As someone who donates to Batsy Dogs and Cats Only, it's fucking scum.
It was horrible. It was actually really horrible to see. The poor little thing just got thrown by the neck.
Who's the player that lashed out on the touchline the other week? And someone had a big old tantrum. Obviously, you can tell I've been really prepared
that
for the show
guy,
this week.
That chap, that was terrible.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Clue.
Horrible.
Either
no,
I've dreamt it up,
about.
Or actually, yeah. Someone lashed out in one of the tournaments going on under 21s or the Confederations Cup.
Breaking news for you there from Andy Franks.
Yeah. Anyway, that he's a naughty
that's
boy.
The level
I've got one other naughty boy.
I thought you were going to help me out there.
Sorry, mate, no idea. slash naughty boy slash lad. One might say, because the other thing that we do like, well, the three things we like on the football podcast is football, booze, and I was going to say bitches, but
boobs.
Yeah, there we go. The Lebanese official Ali Sabah. Have you heard about him?
No.
He is a well respected referee. Has been jailed for offering to fix matches in exchange for sex.
With women or
with women. Men?
Yeah. So it was. Brilliant. He's been found guilty, and he's pleaded guilty to ringing games. Him and his two assistant referees as well. Pleading guilty to rigging games in exchange for sexual favours at a court in Singapore. Singapore businessman.
Is there a picture of him in the article that you read?
Yeah.
I should really put that up.
It was the guy. Apparently, it was only a one-time thing. But some Singapore businessman basically offered him sex with prostitutes if he'd fix a game. I mean, no money he got for it whatsoever, purely shagging. Is he that desperate for a shag?
He must be. Well,
he's got two assistants.
What does he look like in his picture?
Would
you give him one, Dan?
I couldn't possibly say that.
Yeah, it's a very personal question.
Absolutely terrible. But hilarious at the same time.
Well, it's fixtures day. We haven't mentioned that yet. One of the most...
You did at the start.
Did I? Oh, yeah, well, fuck it. It's one of the most nondescript days of the season, I would say. I wrote a blog a while ago about pointless days. I'm pretty sure it was in there.
They all change anyway.
It's good fun. It's nice.
This is my point.
That Arsenal-Spurs game, it's third in... Yeah. That'll change. That won't be a
well,
Saturday
it'll still be
or
played
not.
Third.
Yeah, apparently, they're all Saturdays at 3 o'clock.
Which is a nice change, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I mean, it's quite shocking this year. Everyone's going to play each other twice.
Attendances would be a lot fucking better if they were on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I disagree. Mainly because football fans such as myself, who not only love watching football, but love playing football. So this is my biggest problem, is that I play football on a Saturday. And so I can't go to any Premier League game on a Saturday.
You don't go to Spurs play anyway.
Because I play football on a Saturday.
I also think if you only had maybe one game, two games on television a week again, you would lose the support, because the amount of people who get into football by watching just random games on Sky Sports or whatever channel it's going to be on. So, it's a bit 50-50. But opening day Premier League, we've got a podcast derby.
We do.
Sean Miller's Crystal Palace versus Dan Silva's Tottenham Hotspur.
We do. Wow, it would be... I couldn't even possibly speculate on the result until I work out... until we confirm who our manager is going to be, what players we've got.
I think that's the same for most of the teams, to be honest.
Yes and no.
It's actually quite a good day.
It looks like AVB's going to stay.
Yeah, you better.
Well, Capello's going to Paris Saint-Germain. Apparently his son is there sorting out the contract.
I hope so. That'd be nice to get that tied down, and then the next one, obviously.
A few good games on the open day in the Premier League. Chelsea hosting Hull. That's got 6-1 written all over it. Jose's back. Man City under Pellegrini versus Newcastle under Joe Kinnear.
That'll be interesting.
United away at Swansea.
There's nothing that really takes your fancy.
One for me is going to be West Ham Cardiff. That's going to be a lovely day to be around East London.
For the supporters, really want to be around West Ham's ground.
But look, I mean, the first day you never have derby games, you never have big games. It's always kind of easing in. I mean, it very quickly gets interesting, only from a United perspective. We've got Chelsea at home.
When you say you never have derbies, how do they pick the fixtures?
It's based on, I think, well, they always say it's based on, depending on how many teams are playing in each city on the day, so they can spend resources.
Before Alex Ferguson retired, he picked them.
Imagine the spreadsheet you'd need to work that out.
Yeah. Well, it's got...
You'd need some serious Excel whiz.
I think they have one of those big 1980s style computers that takes up about 5 rooms. You can take some glasses.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
But yeah, they've got a big computer which takes it all in. Seems pleasant enough.
Probably thinking, why the fuck are they talking to me like that?
Yeah.
Why they make it? Yes, of course you can take some glasses.
She was very polite.
At this rate, she's going to be the next podcaster. But yeah, they've got a big computer that fills a room, and I think they run it all through with algorithms and shit.
Does it make like a crazy
noise? Speaking of fixtures, one thing I think the best news of the week for me. Is for the first time since 2010 that the FA Cup final is being played at the end of the season. Which, do you know, it's only a small thing, but no, I'm really happy about it.
It adds a bit more importance.
Yeah.
And it builds the day a bit more, doesn't it?
Definitely. I reckon it'll really feel like proper FA Cup final day.
Yeah.
No other fixtures. Nothing like, don't have to worry about resting players because you're in a relegation battle or you're in a title challenge or something like that. It's like last game of the season.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's a nice touch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking down the leagues, I mean, Brentford, you're starting the season. You're not starting Preston, no, they're playing Wolves. You've got Glamatite at Port Vale. Nice trip up to the Potteries, that'll be nice for you. Gills are hosting Colchester.
Actually, we're away at Gills, I think, second or third game in.
Nice.
That'll be a good one.
I think we've got to be a bit of extra time.
I reckon that should maybe be a little pubcast away day.
Maybe so.
I'm not going to fucking Gillian.
No. No, maybe the Brown.
I'll do it with Jim then.
Good luck. He won't remember you were there anyway.
Yeah.
No, he won't.
He'll be on the pitch assaulting a goalkeeper, won't he?
Something like that, yeah.
But yeah, it's nice that the Football League have done the 125-year celebration. So you've got teams that were originally in the league back in the day, like Burnley and Bolton playing each other.
Fucking hell, it's hot, isn't it?
It is.
Roasting.
But yeah, it's going to be a good season. Yeovil have got a nice tie, their first game in the Championship away at Millwall.
Ooh.
Oh, welcome
to the big leagues, boys.
Yeah. Can't say I'm disappointed about that. They all get beaten up.
Oh, man, that's not very nice.
Isn't it?
Sour grapes.
Yeah, but
speaking of not very nice, is there any truth in the all this Lionel Messi rumours about him and his old man potentially facing 6 years in prison?
I'm pretty sure the authorities in Catalonia won't let it come to that, will they?
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure.
Good way of putting it.
That if they want to remain in power, they are not going to remove Leo Messi.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I really hope he gets tried in Madrid.
Where's the court case for Madrid? You're in trouble.
And it's,
see you in 6 years, lad.
Judge Florentino Perez presiding over things.
Oh, awkward.
But Ilkay Casillas in the jury's box.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just named Real Madrid people.
Yeah, I
was going to say you could make up the jury with the first 11 and then one other. You've got to have a woman on there, you know, to fill quotas, so... Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Anyway,
Dad. Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah.
What about what's going on with transfers?
Transfers.
It's a bit frustrating. I want things to start happening.
It's all gone a bit quiet, hasn't it? I mean, Madrid have kept their number 11 shirt available just in case.
There's been some.
Well, they want Jason Wilcox, don't they?
Disgusting tapping up. Some disgusting.
And you say you're not going to be happy about 85 million?
No, I don't.
85 million?
Take it. But Levy will stick that right in his back pocket.
You'll get half of it next year. You'll get If you don't take 80 million now, you'll get about 40 of it next year.
No, you won't.
No.
But you never know.
I love Zidane. Absolutely.
Bastard, eh? He's a bastard.
Will you shut up, please? Oh, hand in a transfer request. Hand in a transfer request.
He did the same for Modric, didn't he?
Yeah.
He does the same for everyone. They're all the same.
Fucking headbutt.
They're all bastards. Transfers have been a bit quiet, haven't they?
The player that I'm quite interested in, who looks like he's going to be available to someone in Europe, is this Bernard. You know, this young
Tottenham
Brazilian.
The only team in there at the moment.
He looks
pretty good. Yeah. Paulinho's a little bit more... he's got a little bit more experience, isn't he? He's
well,
a little bit
26.
More.
Become a nice Brazilian midfield, along with, Sandro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, but...
Better than Parker and Huddleston.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's all this, especially about Spurs, there's always rumours about three big-name players, strikers and stuff coming in, and I just won't believe it until
You're going to sign Adebayor on deadline day again, aren't you, somehow?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to. Jermaine Defoe for his fifth spell, even though he never left.
See, it's going back to another naughty boy, because there's been loads. Abdul Razak. The Man City youngster, 20-year-old, has been sent home in disgrace by the Ivory Coast for properly fighting with his teammate, Jack Grosso.
How bad did it get?
Well, there's pictures on, I think it was The Sun, didn't look like a little bit of handbags. And
really?
The fact that he's,
Joey Barton, Usain Garbo.
A little bit, and the fact that he's been sent home in disgrace, it's not a good sign for the youngster. It's another naughty boy. There's just been naughty boys all over the place.
Yeah, well, it's the holidays, isn't it? They're misbehaving. They're going down the woods and playing on rope swings.
Has anyone bought Craig Bellamy's book yet?
No.
I think I'm actually going to, because the excerpts that we put into the Insta paper were pretty funny.
It's gone in the top five something, isn't it?
Top five
Sunday Mirror books or something.
Elf books.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Ollie Holt wrote it for him, didn't he?
Did he?
No, I think it's Ollie Holt. That's why.
The only person who can make Craig Bellamy look likeable, so... But it's interesting, actually, because we were talking about good football books and recommendations from regular listener Carl Lawson. English of Fussball by Honigstein, Guardian writer. Apparently very good. And The Italian Job by Luca Vialli. So, a couple of good football books there for you. A
couple of good ones.
What makes them any good?
God knows. Carl likes them.
Yeah, I don't trust Carl.
Who does?
Carl.
Don't trust Carl.
So, you know. Well, he's better than Lenny. If you want a Simpsons joke in there.
No, it's terrible.
No, I know it was, but fuck it. We're filling space. It's the summer. We've got nothing to talk about.
Fixtures been released. What about a prediction from both of you?
For what?
Winners of the Premiership.
Oh, hang on. A bit early for that, Ant.
Yeah, no. We'll save
fixtures
that
are out. Fixtures are out.
Yeah, but no one knows which team's going to turn up yet.
We knew which teams were going to be in the league.
Yeah.
It's not like I was going to turn up to say a Barcelona Premier League winners this season. Definitely.
Sorry, Ant. Sorry, Ant. You've just shot down there, lad.
We'll save that for our pre-season previews.
Because I wouldn't have been able to give any sort of prediction yesterday. But now these fixtures are out, I know exactly who's going to win it.
Well, yeah, because you've seen who you play.
I do think it makes a difference, the order in which you play teams, because obviously you build up ahead of steam and stuff.
Yeah, but like you said,
He's already making excuses.
Those first four matches are taken.
We've got City, Liverpool and Chelsea, so...
And you've got Swansea away.
Swansea away to start,
and Palace at home.
It's going to be...
But then everyone's got Spark. Liverpool are playing City and Chelsea away, Boxing Day and the game after.
What about Arsenal? How are they starting?
Arsenal have got a fairly easy start, I think. I think they've got tough November.
They've got Villa, Fulham, Spurs.
So that's 9 points, isn't it?
Right. Son of a bitch.
We'll save those sort of predictions for later in the summer. closer to the season. See, I'm always going to back United, of course I am.
Funny that.
Blindly. Just like the other year when you said Spurs would win the league.
When?
About 2 years. I remember you saying it might
doesn't
even sound, have been last season.
Doesn't sound like
you
something I'd say.
I recall.
Does not sound like something. No, I said Man City were going to win it.
Well, it might have been the year before, but I definitely remember a pre-season show.
Don't be ridiculous.
I'll listen back. I'm going to have a listen back.
Right, you listen back to the last 130 odd shows and find it.
Or,
if you find that,
or if any of our listeners can remember, if a listener can recall Dan Silva making that prediction.
Now make it up.
Yeah. Make it up. Someone please make it up. Someone please make it up.
Leave it out.
Yeah, get on Twitter.
I've got some good news.
Go on.
And it's not even football related. It's not even remotely football related.
Oh, right.
But I thought it's... Oh, I've got a shit off of it anyway.
So you're having a baby as well?
No. But I just want to send my best wishes to Wesley Warren.
Okay.
And Wesley Warren is an American man who has finally, after a long, long time of agonising pain, has had his 7-stone bollock removed.
Oh,
dear. Are you joking?
No, generally not. The poor old Wesley.
Would he need a wheelchair to walk it around?
You should
in?
See the size of this fucking testicle.
Oh, no,
it
look.
Was absolutely
well,
7
stone is about the
seven
size of...
You?
No, God, no, not anymore.
No, you're right. Yeah, not with that derby.
It might, 7 Costin's about 7 stone.
My missus is about 7.5 stone.
Cat Costin's about 7 stone.
About that. Obviously, all our listeners know who Cat Costin is. So.
She works with you and me.
Not and anymore. Dan. She left about 3 months ago.
Well, she works with Gareth Gold,
no? No one cares about that.
Yeah.
No one really cares about the testicle. But I just thought I want to send my best wishes to Wesley Warren because.
Yeah, I send mine as well.
Yeah. And to Cat Costin. I hope she's doing well.
Having a 7 stone testicle. Imagine how fucking horny he must have been all the time.
I doubt he was. I really doubt he was.
I doubt he was.
No.
I don't think that...
It's just a little bit worrying that your balls would outweigh your cock, really, but yeah.
Well, on that cheerful note, I think that's about it for today. We will go on to... We've got quite a few listener questions built up. We will keep covering them throughout the summer. So
didn't have time for that, because we were too busy talking about testicles.
Exactly.
Squeeze one in.
As per usual. That's what they said to Wayne Warren, and didn't work very well.
One of them, not the other one.
Yeah.
Imagine how insignificant the other one must have felt.
Oh.
Yeah. I know, poor thing. But he's free now. He's the big dog now.
He is.
Be happy.
Get well soon, Wesley.
Well, you know the Scott. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Complaints to the now departed at Simon Head.
No, fuck him, he's dead to us.
Yeah.
He's literally dead to us.
Complaints to at Jim Staples then?
No, don't even give him the satisfaction.
No, we'll find someone. If you've got anyone you think we should send complaints to, let us know and we'll have them sent there.
Joking here.
Well, no, he's got enough on his plate, hasn't he?
Yeah, give him something else, he might give him a heart attack.
I know all the...
Oh,
right, we've got a really naughty boy of the week.
Andy Franks.
Visit us at the now working www.footballpodcast.co.uk and follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. We will hopefully be back next week.
At the Boy Silver if you want some really interesting Big Brother updates.
There
as
well. You go. Big Brother's watching you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Press stop.
Now I know how Phil Schofield feels when he's trying to fill in between, you know, features on This Morning.
In between Holly Willoughby.
Well, that'd be nice.
We're still recording here.